Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Amen. We are blessed and highly flavored. This is the night the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Because the Lord is good all the time. Praise God. You know, I want to just review a little bit before we go further. You know, last time we gathered together, we were talking about the wall of carnality. And in these walls, it's just associated. It's like in being in a matrix or in a maze. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is try to keep us in this maze. In other words, the whole world is in this matrix or maze. And these walls, the imminent, they release this toxin, which we call the prince of power of error. They release demonic influence. They are kept alive by demonic influence. They are kept going and upright by the sacrifice of human blood and the sins of mankind. One of the things the Spirit was sharing with me, and he showed me in this arena, that there are so many that are walking dead. There are just so many walking dead. You know, you can turn on TV and you see all kinds of horror flicks and demonic influence and zombies, you know. And zombies is actually a corpse that is revived by witchcraft. It's mutant, it's willless, and it's carried on by the power of darkness, and it's an evil supernatural force, and its purpose is to promote evil. They call them zombies. They have these things thirst off of eating. They're cannibalistic. And in these movies, in fact, the word cannibal comes from associated with the lineage in the tribe of the Canaanites and service of Baal. And when you put Canaan and Baal together, you get cannibal. And that's where that word came from. Because they were Nephilims, they were offsprings, and they began to eat flesh. They were carnal, and they were cannibals. And in this area of the walking dead, the Lord began to show me about so many individuals that are walking dead, and they have no idea that they are dead. See, without the Spirit of God, you're dead. You may think that you're breathing and living and doing things, but without the Spirit of God and doing God's will, we're dead. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, so many times, religion is walking dead. Religiosity puts people in a dead position because they lose the relationship. We're not religious, we're free. We're associated with an eternal kingdom. It isn't about rituals. We live in the presence of God. Jesus said, "My spirit is life." And he come to bring each and every person life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, are you there? Praise God. In verse 1, would you read it with me? "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Are we in the last days? If you don't know it, you know it now. And it says perilous times will come, and there are perilous times coming. There's a lot of things that are happening right now, all over. Not only here in the United States, but actually worse in other countries that people don't even know about. So many times people are so caught up in their own world, they have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. It says, verse 2, "For men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power." And it says, "From such people turn away." Why? Because these are walking dead individuals. They are carriers of death, not carriers of life. That's why the Bible always warns us about what we associate. Your associations will bring impartations. Hello? I'm going to say it again. Your associations will bring impartations. If you're hanging around with those who are actually dead, dead to the spirit, those spirits in them will begin to influence you. It says, "Bad company corrupts what? Good habits." Amen. These individuals are walking dead. They are carriers of death. It says in verse 8, it says, or verse 6, "For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women. And I always say they creep in ministries, they creep in everything, and they make gullible, they go after gullible men and women. Hello? Loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jambres and Jambres resisted, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, and theirs also was. But you have carefully obeyed or followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. How many of you know God will deliver you out of everything? He says he always makes a way of escape. One of the things we got to be able to do is know. We got to be able to hear. We got to be able to follow. Because if you don't know God's unction, if you don't know the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit tells us things to come. How many times have you done something and you said, man, you know what? I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, who do you think told you? The Lord warned you. Amen? It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, would you read it with me? But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm telling you, imposters. There are those who proclaim to be Christians that are really not. Those are called wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, let me share something with you, vitally important. The word believe is associated with the word follow. If you say you believe and don't follow, then there's something not right. Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples, he said, follow me, follow me. So the word believe means to what? Follow. So if we're telling people that we're a Christian and we're not following, you're a liar, plain and simple. And God looks at you as a liar. But thank God for his mercies and grace, where that's all we need to do is repent and get back on board and start following. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse in deceiving and being deceived. We are at that now. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we see, very vitally important, these are individuals that are walking dead. And we want to be careful in this area of our associations. You know, we're to witness to people. That's why the Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. In other words, those that are proclaiming to be believers but are not followers. You know, I'm a believer, and then they pull out cigarettes and a bottle of booze and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, you're a believer. Says that we'll know them by their what? Fruit. And Psalm 82. In verse 5, Psalm 82 and verse 5, it says, they do not know, nor do they understand. Why? They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. These are individuals that don't know, that don't understand, and they're constantly walking in darkness, and they are totally unstable. Unstable. These are the walking dead. In Romans 1, Romans chapter 1, in verse 28, would you read it with me, please? Romans 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. also those who approve of these things. People have no idea that when you approve of someone that promotes same-sex marriage, abortion, when you approve of someone, when you elect an official to that degree, all those people's blood is on our hands. It's vitally important that we understand these things. So if you approve of something, that means you elect someone that goes into office or whatever that promotes abortion, same-sex marriage. You put somebody in a place that does those things, approves of those things. You elect them. You promote them. Blood's on your hands. Does everybody got it? Blood is on their hands. You know, so many times when we were in the world, there were many that got somebody pregnant, a male or whatever, and a woman, and they decided to have an abortion. Well, if you knew about it and didn't try to prevent it, that means you approved it. And the blood is on your hands. Amen? Everybody okay? Praise God. So these are evil-mindedness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, walking dead. 2 Peter chapter 2. We discern by the fruit, right? That doesn't matter where a person came from, doesn't matter anything. How famous, how wealthy, whatever promises. I don't care what they got to say. If their fruit stinks, hello, something's not right. And you're going to know what they approve of. You're going to know what they promote. Is it fruit that God would approve of or fruit that man's approval? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Let's read it together. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetousness practices. And are what? They are what? Accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are walls without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are those we are called the walking dead. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Jude. In verse 10, would you read it with me, please? But these speak evil, whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the area of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. Now, we are in a time, you know, God told us that Jesus would be coming as it is in the days of Noah. Amen? And when it talks about twice dead, listen, you and I were born in sin. Amen? We were born in sin, but we were not created in sin. We were born in sin, but not created in sin. And there are those that are created in sin. I know this may be a little strange for you, but there are things right now that are going on that people have no idea. There are test tube children. There's all kinds of things. All kinds of demonic promotions, bloodlines from the seed of the serpent. Again, there are those who are born in sin and those who are created in sin. Those who are created in sin, redemption isn't available. But those who are born in sin, where redemption is. Even the Word tells us these things. He said that those who were Israelites, but really not Israelites. But he talks about something that is coming. You read in the book of Hosea, and you read about the armies that are coming that are do not look human at all. Those are hybrids. These things are created by evil. Does everybody understand that? There are things that are created in evil, and those that are created or are born in evil. You and I were born in sin. But sin that creates sin, hello? Evil that creates evil, there is no redemption. Because they're really not human. They seem human, but they're really not. That's why Satan's kingdom, his purpose is to kill every DNA human possible. Every single one. Remember when the angels put on flesh and came into the women and produced offsprings? Those were demons. God put a shutdown to that. That's why we read in the Old Testament, King David and all the kings, what were they doing? They were going around killing these tribes. Kill the men, the women, the children, and the cattle. Why? Because they were associated with the seeds of the serpent. Many of them were associated with the hybrids, the Nephilims, the offsprings, Rephilims. But when God put a stop to all of this, Satan decided to do something else. Remember, the ruler of this world is Satan. And if Satan rules the world, he rules technology also. Did you ever notice how we have to fight as believers in the body of Christ to get through, to penetrate through anything? We have to battle. And when you finally battle and you get, doesn't it, then you have to battle to keep. Because there's a fight. You know what Paul said? We're constantly pressed, hard pressed on every side. There's a battle going on every day. That's why we must be first strikers. Amen? So in this, we see that there are things that are created in evil as you and I were born in sin. There's a difference. That's what he calls twice dead. Twice dead. We call them walking dead. Let's go a little further. Twice dead, refuse redemption or unredeemable. I mean, these are walking dead. Now, you and I were walking dead, but there was redemption available for me and you. In Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody okay? You know, the Lord is just opening up so much more revelation, so much vision. He's pouring out His Spirit. He's showing His people so much in preparation for what's getting ready to come. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? For you He what? Made alive who were what? Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to who? The prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Powerful. So you and I were once dead. We were walking dead, but we were redeemable. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 11. Colossians 2:11. Let's speak this together, please. It says, in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having what? Nailed it on the cross. Nailing it to the cross. Again, we were dead in trespasses. In Romans 14. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Romans 14 and verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and what? approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with what? Offense. Offense. You know, again, the Lord is so gracious to us and so willing for us to come. Come, learn the truth, be freed, turn away, walk, so that we can walk in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the man, not in the oldness of the letter. God has made a way. He has opened the door. Again, we talked about this in last time when we talked about how walking, we can actually go through the walls, the carnal walls that have been set forth in the matrix, in the maze. Because those who are led by the Spirit are called sons of God. And it's important about the Holy Spirit. It's the importance of the leading of the Holy Spirit in all of our life and all of our teachings and everything that we do, always inviting Him to guide us. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? And in Colossians chapter 1, the walking dead. Man, I remember when I was walking dead. It's a terrible place to be. Terrible place. Especially when a believer is walking in the Spirit and chooses to walk in the flesh. It's a terrible place to be. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, and He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things exist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from what? The dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Again, He is the firstborn of the dead. In other words, you and I couldn't become alive unless He had to become the firstborn of the dead. Amen? So you and I were walking dead, amen, until Christ came into our life. In Revelation chapter 1, I see many walking dead out there today. Many. Many zombies. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. Verse 5, would you read it with me? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priest to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. We have been called to be priests. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord. You cannot fulfill your kingship without fulfilling your priesthood. And your priesthood is always something that is maintained. We are one who ministers to the Lord. Why? Because as you minister to the Lord, the anointing comes. And as the anointing comes, then you become king. King means warrior. You cannot go there not backed by the anointing, amen? You can go there in the flesh. You can even go out there in the Word, you know? But the Bible says that the Word is what? Seed. That's where many believers try to overcome by just reading the Word. But you got to have the Spirit. You got to be filled with the Spirit, amen? We should be backed by the anointing. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. It's not called the sword of the Word. It's called the sword of the Spirit. Amen. So we get the Word in us, we get filled. Then when we speak, when it's backed by the anointing, it is a sword, and it penetrates. Penetrates those walls of carnality. It penetrates. It penetrates those who are walking dead. That's why the Bible says, "In those who believe in My name, these signs will follow." Hello? What does it say? And they will what? Cast out demons. Why? Somebody is walking dead, it has demons, don't they? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus was on the cross and he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. It says, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, Jesus dies on the cross. Remember, he had to take all of man's sin. That's how he entered into heaven. I mean, into hell. That was his ticket into hell. He took all man's sin. When he went to hell, he took the keys of Satan, death, hell, and the grave. He ministered to the saints, or not to the saints, but to the spirits that were there. The veil tore. When Jesus rose from the dead, now the graves were open. Rocks were split. Graves were open because they had tombs. So the graves were open. But when Jesus rose from the dead, those who were a part or believed in Jesus at that time, that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in that arena, in that area, also rose from the dead with him. Watch this. In verse 52, and it says, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after what? His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Hallelujah. Now, they were truly dead, but we call that asleep in Christ. So they were asleep in Christ. And when Jesus rose from the dead, they came out with him. And they went into the city. And they began to share and witness with every single one. And they lived the rest of their lives until it was time for them to come home. Because Jesus is the resurrection of the dead. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the only one that can take a soul who was walking dead and bring him life. There is no other belief system in this world, nothing else, can bring life to something that was dead. Amen? Nothing. In Ezekiel 37, the walking dead. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. And you want to read about three-dimensional things, just read the book of Ezekiel. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of dry bones. That means without life, without spirit. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. In other words, he really didn't have an answer. Oh, you know, Lord. Is that a trick question? Verse 4. Or verse 3. And he said, verse 4, I'm sorry. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. See, when we're walking dead, we have dry bones. Now, we know he's talking about Israel that he's going to raise up, but when he speaks to Israel, he also speaks about the body. In verse 6, he says, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. I'm in Ezekiel 37, just in case, starting at verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and exactly an exceedingly what? Great army. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the body also. Amen. He's talking about the body of Christ being an exceedingly great army. See, you and I have, when the Spirit tells us to speak, that's when we prophesy. Amen? We prophesy. It's with the gifts of the Spirit. It's not our gifts, it's His gifts. And when he tells us to prophesy and speak certain things, usually he shows you. Let me tell you, when God speaks to you, you see. And then you speak by faith, because when he speaks, you see. Now you're moving in faith because you saw, because faith is not blind. Amen? We don't walk in blind faith. We can't say, I'm walking by faith, when you don't know what you're walking by. Faith is spiritual sight. Amen? That's why the word says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. He means you don't walk by physical sight, you walk by spiritual sight. That's called faith. And so we see here that these that were walking dead, that we were at one time, we had dry bones. There were many people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and still had dry bones. They had no refreshing of the Spirit. Dry bones. That's religion. But then there's that time when you are filled with the Spirit of God and boom, everything changes. You're no longer walking dead. You're armed and dangerous. Amen? Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 28. Is everybody there? And you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my what? Darkness. For by you I can run against a what? Troop. Now he's talking about, this is one of his soldiers. Hello. David was a soldier. He was a warrior. That's why he was a king. One of the things that David did is he ministered to the Lord. See, if you can't minister to the Lord, you got no right ministering to nobody else. He said, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. This is a soldier. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except for our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on a high places. He teaches my hands to make what? War, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me, and my feet do not slip. Verse 37, I have pursued my enemies. Are you pursuing your enemies? That's why we first strike. See, so many times people don't first strike. They wait till they get struck. Then they turn around and try to fight. But let me tell you, it's harder to fight if you're wounded, isn't it? You're too easily deceived. You're too concerned about your wounds instead of battle. That's why offense is dangerous. Everybody in this room gets offended at some time, but it's what you do with it. Everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets rejected. Everybody gets forsaken. But we're not to hold on to that. We're to cut loose of it, turn it over, because he never forsakes us. Amen?
Well, I got offended because of...
Oh, shut up. It was your choice you got offended. You have the choice of accept it or reject it. But you don't know. I don't want to know what happened. It doesn't matter. You want to stay that way in that condition? Then go for it. You want to stay in your puddle of affliction? Go ahead and stay there and do the backstroke. But you'll get nowhere. Amen? In verse 37, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. So many people quit. They quit. They don't finish things. They don't complete things. They quit. Because their enemy overtakes them. You know why? Because they're not first strikers. That which was alive is now dead. They started walking in the Spirit, and then they chose not to walk in the Spirit. And they became walking dead again, needed to be revived. I have wounded them, verse 38, so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hate me. They cried out, but there was none to save. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Let me tell you, God does not answer evil. I like this part. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and I cast them like dirt in the streets. That's what we should be looking at, our enemies. Hello. We do not pet evil. Hello. There's too much soulish ministry. There's a time of compassion, a time of tenderness, then there's a time of Man up or woman up, let's go. Quit playing an idiot and get right. Soldiers of the Most High, this is what we should be looking at. You should want to destroy your enemy. You know, all of our things that we go through, our afflictions, you know, you're going through stuff. Okay, man, you're getting attacked, this thing. But that's how God exposes your enemy. See, the secret to our enemy is to stay hidden, isn't it? He doesn't want you to know that his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. So he doesn't want you to know he's there. But I'm telling you that when God allows certain circumstances, says, look at, doesn't it say we're going to go through trials? He says, count it all joy. When you go through, not if you go through, you're going to go through it. You're going to go through stuff. It doesn't mean we're going to go back and use dope. It doesn't mean we're going to go back and start fornicating. It means that we're going to go through things. And as we go through things, God is just exposing your enemy. So it's your responsibility to pull out the sword of the Spirit and cut its head off. Pursue it, crush it, and get rid of it. Find out where it came from, who told me that, where'd you come from, and bam. Too many people put it under the rug, and then they keep tripping over it. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? John chapter 6. You know, if we would just trust God and see things through, there wouldn't be so much complaining. There wouldn't be so much complaining. You know, people complain because they don't get something. People complain because God didn't do this yet or whatever. Or why did this person get this or this person didn't? People don't know how many times they've been rescued because they didn't get it. You know, you may be starting your way, going somewhere, you're in a car, and all of a sudden something changes. And, you know, if you would have gone that path, you might have been killed, run over. Who knows? You don't know what happened. You don't know what's getting ready to happen. But if you truly have a relationship with the Lord, and you're truly in fellowship with Him and His Spirit, and you truly are humble and willing to do whatever it takes, He'll guide you. He will truly guide you. And when you make a mistake, it won't be your problem, it'll be His. Because you'll be quick to repent. Amen? See, God loved to expose your enemy so you can take care of it. But we get so caught up and emotionally caught up, too many times blaming everything else, not willing to take responsibility or accountability. And we act like those who are walking dead instead of being alive in the Spirit and soldiers of the Most High. I'm a full, blown-out individual that believes in the military of God's kingdom. I believe that we need to be disciplined because discipline leads to relationship and relationship leads to love affair. I believe that we need to be accountable to one another. I truly believe that. I know when people are taken away from a flock and they try to do Lone Ranger stuff, that is not my Father. That is the enemy. Why? Because He says, forsake not to assemble. John chapter 6, verse 62. Oh, actually, this is good. I like this. Jesus was explaining to them about, communion. He says, He who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life. Well, these guys were freaking out. They thought they were actually going to have to eat Jesus' flesh there and drink His blood. And go to verse 57. We'll go there. It says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives what? Life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. It is the Spirit who gives life. Amen. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 5. The walking dead. Believe me, there are many walking dead out there right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we need to be prepared. Amen. We need to be ready in season and out. See, being ready in season and out means that it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Him. So you're staying filled with the Spirit. You're staying filled with the Word. And you're ready. You're not thinking about what you're supposed to do. You're waiting to get a command to do. You're not walking in assumption. You're walking by faith. So when that person or whatever it is comes by or whatever's going on, and the Lord says, that one, you move. See, I see so many people. I've gone downtown, and I've seen so many people chase people. You need Jesus. I had to go rescue a guy from a woman. She was on the streets preaching. I pulled over my car and said, yo. I mean, she was about ready to beat this guy with the Bible. I said, this is not how you go. Where's the love of Christ? He needs Jesus. You need deliverance. You religious spirit, you. That's not the way it is. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in what? In Christ, which means in the Spirit. Hello? He's a what? New creation. Old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the what? Ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Jesus came with God in Him. Amen? He left His Spirit, so Jesus is still in us now. He says, walk like Him. Walk like Him. And there's a process of cutting things loose from our life. When you come to Christ, there's that process. Cutting things loose. Learning the truth. You know, I've heard people say, well, you're brainwashed. I said, thank you, Jesus. I am brainwashed. My brain got washed from the world because I was once dead, but now I'm alive. And I'm alive in Christ. So we got to be ready in season and out to rescue those who are walking dead. And don't let the enemy deceive you to go back to walking dead. Amen? Amen. Father, we give You all the glory, honor, and praise. We want to thank You for Your word. Let this seed be imparted, protected by the blood of the Lamb, and grow and bear fruit for Your glory. I pray blessing over each and every one here today, Lord, that You'll visit them in dreams and visions, that You'll release fresh rhema to them with revelations and impartations, and that You'll prosper them, Lord, with the riches and the glory of You, with knowledge and understanding, that You'll prosper them in health, and that You'll prosper them with cash, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.